Happy New Year. Thank you. It's beautiful to begin the new year with this feast of the Epiphany, because of course during New Year we're thinking about how we're going to approach this coming year. Maybe some of you made New Year's resolutions on New Year's Eve. Maybe you're thinking about and maybe hopefully already implementing some of those things to, who knows, lose weight or change some habits or kind of focus your attention on something different in your life. Today, we're challenged by the Magi to think about, what are we following in our life? What is the purpose of our life? Where are we going? It's a great time of year to be reflecting upon that as we have this whole new year kind of laid before us. We'll get to that in a moment, but before we do, first, I want to talk about the first and second reading, which kind of open up to us kind of the spirit of this reality of what are we following? Of course, the Magi are following the star. The first reading today talks about this theme of light versus darkness. First reading, behold Jerusalem, light has come to you. Its radiance will shine in your midst. It will overflow within you. People will come from the east and the west, gather to you. Dromedaries will come bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This theme of the light, which drives away despair, hopelessness, heaviness, the light which gives us hope. I know since we live in Texas, we're very used to, you know, the sunshine and light. We're very blessed with that. Maybe the last couple months we've been struggling a little bit. We had some nice sunshine today and yesterday, but last couple days it hasn't been the best. I was reflecting on my time up in Columbus, Ohio. I was there for my last 3 years of seminary. And I lived most of my life in Texas until I went up there for the last 3 years of my seminary. And if you don't know much about Columbus, it's always cloudy there. Always. They have this term, the permacloud, the cloud that permanently just sits over the whole state, just never moves. And so once a month, you maybe get sunshine, and all the guys go outside and are, saw some guys, you know, out there like sunbathing. I was like, what are you doing? It's, you know, it's October. What are you doing? There's recognizing, you know, they don't get to see the sun very much. And I remember my first winter up there, I was going through a really tough time. It was kind of the end of January, right in the heart of winter time, and I was frustrated with my studies. I was like angry at my classmates. I was frustrated with my professors, and I was talking to my spiritual director about this, and we were trying to discuss possibilities. Could it be this? Are you getting your prayer time in? Or, you know, are you eating well? Are you doing this? And no, it's not that. No, it's not that. And chatted for a long time, and then finally my spiritual director goes, wait, you're from Texas, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, when was the last time you saw the sun? And I couldn't remember. Honest to truth, I couldn't remember. I think it had been like a month since I had seen the sun, and our seminary had underground tunnels that connected all of our buildings, so I don't think I had even set foot outside for about a month. It was crazy, and I realized, you know, the power of the sun, the power of light in our life. You know, biologically, we need the sun to, you know, have serotonin in our body, which allows us to feel good, vitamin D, you know. So if you don't have that, you know, the medical term, you know, seasonal disaffective disorder, where you don't have enough sun, and so you feel that depression, that heaviness, you know, lack of purpose. And our first reading today is kind of speaking that truth, that we have to have light in our life. And what do we mean by light? We have to have a spirit of hope, a spirit of purpose, a spirit of what gives us meaning, of who we are and our purpose in the world. So that's the first reading today. The second reading today reveals what that light is. St. Paul talks today about the mystery made known. The light is the mystery made known. Who is Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the mystery made known to us, his children, us Christians gathered here today to profess our faith and to come in the presence of that light, that it might purify our light, or excuse me, our life, and allow us to live in just that warm presence that the sun gives to us when we're outside. You know, that feeling of purpose and hope and okay, life's good, you know. So light and the mystery made known. Both of those things are very closely connected to the thing that the Magi follow, the star. It's a light, and it's a representation of the mystery made known. The new king who's going to come into the world to save us from the darkness of sin and death, the darkness of our own self-reliance that keeps us from experiencing the hope of who we are as beloved sons and daughters of God, the hope that God has come to save us, to bring us back to himself. Now, how do we allow that light, that mystery made known, how do we allow that star to be the center of our life? Because that's the moral of the story of the Magi, is they choose to follow this star. And this solemnity today challenges us to really think about, are we really following the star? Are we really following Jesus with all that we are in our life? How do we do that in our life? I want to maybe put forth 3 points. And let's think about the Magi. There's kind of 3 parts of their journey. First part is they decide to make the journey. They make the decision to follow this star. Second, they have to persevere in their journey, constantly readjusting their course to follow the star to get to Bethlehem. And then third, they arrive, this beautiful encounter with Jesus, the Christ child. All 3 of those things kind of reveal to us our own journey of faith and how we are called to, in our own journey, that's really our whole life, how are we called, like the Magi, to constantly follow Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life, that star of Bethlehem that's leading to eternal life, and ultimately, encounter with God, our Heavenly Father, allowing us to live in the freedom of the light. So let's begin with that first one, the decision to make the journey. Have you, in your life of faith, made the decision to follow Jesus? And I mean it kind of generally, but I mean it in a very deeper, more specific way. Have you decided to lay everything else beside in your life to choose to follow one thing, which is Jesus Christ? If you think about the 3 kings, these are kings. They had everything they needed, comfort, you know, servants, very well provided for. And these 3 kings, who have everything in the world, decide to follow this astrological sign, just a faint hope of what they might find. They choose to make this difficult journey, which would last months and months, we're not even sure, maybe years. Tradition tells us they probably came from the area of Persia, so thousands and thousands of miles they had to travel through very desolate, difficult land, passing through other kingdoms where they would probably possibly be killed, to follow this sign of hope, this star. Have we in the same way made that decision to leave everything else behind in our life? Choose to maybe let go of things that are holding us back from following the one thing that truly matters, that truly endures, that truly brings meaning and hope in our life, which is Jesus, the star of Bethlehem. It's interesting, if you've ever seen the movie The Nativity Story, there's this beautiful scene, kind of creative license, of course. It's the 3 kings, they found out about the star, and they're getting ready to make the journey, and one of the kings doesn't want to go. He's kind of like, he's like super, you know, he likes his comforts, and so he's complaining to the other 3 kings, oh no, you guys go, like, I'm too comfortable here, you know, like, what am I going to do on the journey? I'm not going to have, you know, my dates and my grapes and my cushions, what am I going to do? And the other 2 kings are kind of, you know, kind of making fun of him and encouraging him, like, come on, like, have an adventure, like, go, like, this is a beautiful sign, this will never happen before, and they eventually convince him to going. Are we that king in our life, that the things of this world, the comforts and trappings, you know, of this world, our things, our possessions, our unhealthy habits, keep us anchored to this world instead of making the journey of faith that allows us to arrive at this beautiful encounter with Jesus, who transforms our life there in the scene at the manger with Mary and Joseph? What's keeping us back from making the journey, giving it all for the sake of the person who gives us life? Second, persevering in the journey. If you think about the 3 kings, they had a very difficult journey, you know, probably had to go through a bunch of deserts and all these different things. They constantly had to reorient themselves and be renewed in the purpose of what they were following. Maybe all the different astrological tools they had to bring to orient their path, to constantly be following the star. In our journey of faith, it's the same thing. In our journey of faith, there's ups and downs, difficult moments of trial, great moments of joy, and constantly throughout that, we constantly have to have this spirit of reorienting ourselves to Christ so we don't get lost. You know, maybe we follow these other stars over here that are kind of twinkling, but they're not the true star. They're not the star that shines brightest, which is the star of Bethlehem. How do we in our life use the tools that God's given us to reorient our life to Christ. What are those tools? First and foremost, turning our heart back to Jesus, prayer. A daily time where we set aside a period of undistracted time, silence, to just be with God. Tell him about our life. Let him speak to our heart. Read the scriptures. Come to daily mass. Go to the adoration chapel for an hour. Spend time with Jesus daily that we might be plugged in and focused on the star so that we don't lose our way. The sacraments, these beautiful ways in which we're renewed, refreshed by the power and grace of God. The Holy Eucharist, where we receive Jesus and his body and blood poured out on the cross for us. Confession, where we're washed of our sins and renewed in the mercy of God. You know, our baptism, which renews us and reminds us of who we are as a son and daughter of God. You know, our marital covenant or our priestly covenant of faith. Am I renewing my yes to this other person, my yes to the people of God to serve them as Jesus served me and loved me. These beautiful sacraments that keep us oriented to the star. And then finally, arriving at the scene. As the gospel passage tells us today, they arrived and found Mary with the child. You see, as we continue to grow in our faith and continue little by little further and further along in the journey, our journey starts to become more and more just a perpetual encounter with Jesus. We start to live each moment of our life as if we're just constantly in God's presence. We just have to look at the lives of the saints or maybe holy people in your life. You know, it's like nothing fazes them. They always just have this spirit of peace and joy and freedom of heart. It's like they're constantly just living in the presence of Jesus. And in doing so, they speak that love and they speak Jesus into our own life. Are we abiding in the encounter with Jesus in our life, just like the three kings did when they get there? What do? They pay homage to him. They prostrate themselves before the King of the universe. I love that verb, prostrate. I don't think we ever really understand what really happened at the Epiphany. You know, so often we see the kings, you know, in manger scenes, they always kind of have this kind of posture of, you know, giving honor to God. You know, it's usually something like this where they're kind of like on one knee and they're kind of like, you know, something like that, you know, something like that. And that's true. They honored this new Savior, but the scriptures tell us today that they prostrated themselves. They did him honor and prostrate. What is prostrate? That verb is actually to lay fully down, to lay down on your face, and by doing so, showing honor and praise and glory to the person in which you're prostrating in front of. Do we in our life prostrate our lives before Jesus, giving completely of ourselves to honor the one true King of the world who has first laid down his life in the same way for us on the cross? We commemorate this actually during the year. There's one time in the liturgical year where we prostrate ourselves. Happens on Good Friday. The priests come in, and before the Mass starts, they lay down right before the altar, prostrate themselves as a sign, just like the Magi did, a sign of the reverence of what's about to happen. The reverence that the God of the universe is about to lay down his life for us, his children, out of love for us, that we can never deserve or earn. He does it completely out of generous, perfect love for us, to save us. Does our life live in that perpetual encounter of gratitude and savoring the power that God has died for us? The joy, the hope, the enlightenment that transforms our life when we live in that truth with everything that we are. And how do we let that joy permeate every aspect of our life? How do we let it become our own font of self-gift? Just as Jesus gave himself to us, how do we give ourselves to the world in the same way with that joy? It's interesting. One of my most powerful memories from my ordination was when I prostrated. During an ordination, the priests, during the Mass, who are about to be ordained, prostrate themselves. We lay ourselves down, and then there's the litany of the saints, and I remember that was such a powerful moment for me, kind of taking on that personhood of Jesus who's laying down his life for the world. In that prostration, it made known to my heart the fact that that is my life. This is my vocation, to lay down my life for the people of God, for you, God's children, his flock. If I'm not living in that, if I'm not living and prostrating my life for your sake, if I'm not giving of myself, I'm just serving myself. My vocation is empty, and it actually does harm to the world. Same way, are you prostrating yourself in your vocations? You know, if you're called to married life, are you prostrating yourself before your wife or your husband, serving them, living out your vows? You know, I would love to see, in the marriage rite, I would love to see a small little change. I don't think it'll ever happen, but maybe it would happen that during the vows, instead of holding hands and giving the vows, you know, that's powerful. I would love to see each spouse prostrate before the other person and make their vows. Because that's really what's happening. Each spouse is promising that I give myself completely to you till death do us part, in sickness or in health. What? How powerful would that be to see that witness? That's really at the heart of that sacrament. Just like priesthood, the priest serving the world, serving the people of God. Are we living in that reality? And we have that obligation just in our baptism too, to prostrate ourselves to serve the world as sons and daughters of God, as a community of faith. How are we doing that in our life? How are we giving gifts as the kings did today? Our time, our talent, our treasure to build up our spouse, our community of faith, the world, our church community here at St. Helens. How are you giving of your time, talent, and treasure to build up the spirit of light and love, which is Jesus Christ? So we ask for that gift today of Jesus Christ to be renewed in the purpose of our life, to follow the star, Bethlehem, which is Jesus. We ask for the grace to give everything we are to begin the journey, to persist in following him who is the way, the truth, and the life, and to allow every moment of our life to be a perpetual encounter with Jesus, who is the Savior of the world, who lays down his life for our salvation. We ask these things in his name. Amen.